Trendy is presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook, the greatest sports betting app of all time. Download it, must be 21 years or older. Welcome back to another edition of Trendy presented by Omaha, the show where we like to explore the best ways to wager for casual cappers. And we have brought Eddie Spaghetti back way quicker than we normally would because his New York Rangers have made it to the Eastern Conference Finals. And I've got to give him an open mic for his mental breakdown that we all get to witness over the next 2 weeks. And not only that, he just survived not one, not two, not three, but 5 days in Las Vegas and is now going to go ahead and try to put together a coherent sentence with those two things going on in his brain. So how are you, Edward?
Oh, man, what a crazy few days here. I'm actually very happy that my Rangers have won in advance, but the journey getting there was pretty terrible. And, sorry to all the Knicks fans, my Knicks, they did lose. I think it's myself and Kevin Hench's fault for kind of sacrificing them. But, man, I mean, I could the day that game six happened, it was just a complete roller coaster. And a lot of Rangers fans get this kind of doomsday moniker, they call it, because obviously the franchise has been through so many years and postseason failures and going 54 years between cups with the 1940 to 1994. So we're just used to pain and failure, losing the 2022 series to the Lightning. We're up 2-0, losing last year to the Devils. Like, it's been happening recently. So going up 3-0 versus the Hurricanes, that everyone and their brother, every analytics community, all the models said that they were the better team because of their puck possession, because of their high amount of shots on net, and down 3-1 with 10 minutes or so left to go in the third period in Raleigh, North Carolina, which did have some Rangers fans there as usual, but then having Chris Kreider just put that team on his back, getting a natural hat trick in the third. Beating them by 5-3 with getting empty netter as well before overtime, like winning by two goals after being down two goals. As I'm like, I gave up. Like, I simply just gave up on watching the game. I had a concert that night. I wanted to enjoy myself. And then I just inevitably get texts from friends and Dave and Hench watching as well. So they're texting and I'm like, I guess I got to put it on. And I did happen to turn it back on my phone in time to see Chris Kreider tie it and go ahead. And then obviously the empty netter. And I was inside the arena at the Pearl Jam concert. There was a guy with an Igor Shesterkin jersey cheering, watching the TVs there. So it was crazy. And I went from like wanting to vomit all over myself to then now being like, almost like in tears. Like, I can't believe they turned it around this way. So this team definitely is magical.
I have so much to dig into on based on what you just said.
Sure.
So my first question, Eddie Spaghetti, is do you even like sports?
Nope.
I mean, you work in sports. You were at the Pearl Jam show. The team that you like live and die by, the New York Rangers, is playing a decisive game six and you turn it off. Like, is that just like a defense mechanism?
Yeah.
Do you actually not want to watch these things? Like, why go through the whole entire journey if when we get to the like actual point of all of it, you can't even stomach watching it?
Because it is a defense mechanism. And in my head, I'm like, they're not coming back. They're down two goals. The Rangers will pull their goalie. And, you know, if it was 8 minutes left, I think when Kreider scored the first one, so they'd probably pull the goalie with maybe upper 2 minutes, 3 minutes left in the game. They're going to lose by three goals. Why do I need to see this? Why did you see this collapse happen, losing three straight games? I just saw this happen last year. Just saw that happen the year before. So I'm like, in my head, I'm like, all right, we'll just gear up for game seven. Like, it's going to be game seven in the Garden. Got to win this one and better not collapse. But you also weirdly went from like, oh, you're up 3-0 versus the Canes to now they forced a game seven. So all the momentum and confidence you built up in believing in this team was gone. And I just kind of was like, I don't need to see this collapse happen. So I do turn it off as a defense mechanism. If I like sports or not, like, it is tough. Like, there are certain aspects of sports that I like no matter what, like a college football Saturday, watching all the different games. I'm always going to love that. And that won't, my gut won't be turned watching stuff, but I do get frustrated. And it's now like, it's sad to say that working in sports kind of has made me, get like immune to the happiness. Like I am probably more of a doomsday fan, but I wasn't, you know, with this specific series. I just kind of was. I just gave up on game six. I was always going to watch game seven, but I was like, this is over. And Chris Carr did something that, you know, only like Mark Messier and Wayne Gretzky have ever done before. So it's pretty incredible company.
I know. I mean, just what are the odds, like over at Caesars, that I would be watching game six of the Rangers and you wouldn't be? Like, I don't know what they would have to lay for that to
I
happen,
did have a
but.
plan. I did have a plan. I did have like my TV plan set up if the game was close or if they were winning. But once they were down two goals with, you know, single digit minutes left, I was like, well, there's no point of me wasting my time doing this. So that's kind of
But
gave
then
up.
he hits the empty netter from whatever it was, three quarters ice. And
Yes.
then you get to watch Pearl Jam. So, like, from
Yes.
that moment forward, where does it rank in the best nights of your life if I tell you Jada's not listening?
Especially that show too. And she was there with me at that show. So it was an all-time show. My mood changed completely. We were there early, obviously, because I was watching the, you know, I tried to get submerged and I was watching the game on my phone. So I'm like, at least there's, you know, somehow there was like Wi-Fi in the building. And we just were sitting down there when the opening band came on. I was just like giggling the whole time. I'm like, I cannot believe it. Obviously, like my phone's blowing up with all my friends reacting and my parents reacting, and my brother. So it was fun to before the show started, like just to read all like the joy and like the relief and all the Rangers fans collectively exhaling after that insane stretch of hockey games. And you know, because we went from like if only Jimmy Vesey shot the puck in the net in game four and they could have potentially got the empty net goal, like people were now going back and critiquing each loss, like if we just did this differently. And the minute you get down that path, it's like it's over, like the series is completely over. So you know, it's going from that thought process to then just everyone just cheering and seeing like the garden, the watch party, the garden with people throwing their hats in the ice for Kreider, people going to Kreider's house and putting hats in front of his front lawn. I just thought it was just like seeing all this stuff happen after the game is over was just it was an unbelievable feeling. It was really one of the best nights I've had in quite some time.
All right. Well, I mean, like, you're kind of reminding me of the old Jerry Seinfeld joke that people's number one fear is public speaking and number two is dying. So if you're at a funeral, you're better off giving a eulogy. Or sorry, better off being in the box than giving a eulogy. Are you actually like happy that the Knicks lost, that you no longer have to live and die with this like ragtag group that had been run into the ground by Tibbs, that were falling by the wayside game by game, and like, you know, went out on their shield in game seven at the Garden, but really in their current form had no chance to actually win an NBA title against the Celtics or whoever comes out of the West. So is that like, are you like, is game seven a good case for you yesterday, or are you sad that season's over?
Well, it's funny because back what I said about sacrificing our teams up, mentioning Kevin Hanch, which we'll get into more during Minus Three upcoming. I put on the Knicks in the silver platter. He put the Bruins up on the silver platter, and both those teams lost because we both knew the Rangers were the better team and his Boston Celtics were the better team. So we kind of foresaw this happen, which is kind of creepy. But you know, I was talking about it with a lot of my Knicks fans friends. I thought if the Knicks were somewhat healthy and they, let's just say they won, they beat the Pacers in six games, seven games, best case scenario versus Celtics, maybe they, you know, probably a gentleman's sweep, maybe force a game six. But I think with this, the Pacers probably get closer to swept or losing five as well. The Knicks are just so banged up and it was an incredible run. But I mean, with Brunson breaking his hand and OG's injury and Josh Hart, you know, straining his midsection and obviously not even having Randle the entire postseason for the most of the regular season, there's just not enough firepower there. And they did everything they could. I mean, Tibbs pushed him to the brink and they got this far, which is great. I don't think anyone had them slotted as being a two seed. I don't think anyone had them slotted even sniffing the ECF, you know, with teams like, you know, the Bucks and the Sixers and the Heat still kind of lurking. So it was an incredible run. It was an incredible season. It fired up the fan base. The Garden is alive again. Am I happy that they're it's a funny like push-pull you know relationship because a lot of Rangers and Knicks fans feel if one team succeeds the other really can't, although 94 it kind of did happen. But I do somewhat believe in the little superstitions, but I think this is just simply a case of just like the guys were they were they're down to below 50% health. I mean, it was
Yeah.
pretty bad.
So you're in your early 30s. I mean, let's
Yes.
just do a final retrospective on this Knicks team. Favorite team of your lifetime, most memorable team of your lifetime? Like, where would they rank as a Knicks fan in terms of this season in context of history?
I still slightly remember some of those teams as a kid with Ewing and Oak and Starks and all those guys. I have their jerseys. I do remember because basketball was the first sport I played as a kid, and I love basketball from an early age. So that's probably still one, but I think you're lying to yourself if this is not the number, two or 1A, 1B sort of situation because of just like this group of guys. None of them were bona fide stars coming into the league. There was no, they always put that graphic up of, no, playing in the playoffs, no first round picks. Everyone's a second round pick. And Brunson was basically in the shadow of Luka in Dallas. And Josh Hart's bounced around the league. And they make a trade for OG. And people were skeptical of why we would trade the players that we did in that package. RJ Barrett being one of them, and Emmanuel quickly being the other, who was like a fan favorite. And they come to this team, and Hartenstein has to start, and everything is just working, it's just clicking. And Thibodeau's a coach that's, in this modern NBA, gets criticized quite a bit for his style of coaching and pushing players and playing, making players play almost full games. So yeah, of course. I mean, this team is it's so lovable. I think, even if you hate the Knicks, I just don't get how you despise this team because there really is no hateable guy. There is no like superstar that, asked to make a super team and pick this destination. They always fell short. They never got Durant when they were rumored to. They never got LeBron. Like, they had the worst odds in the NBA and the Zion Williamson draft, and they didn't get Zion. They didn't even get Ja either. Like, and they just got kind of get screwed over time and time again. And now it all kind of came together in a way that nobody ever predicted this group of guys working together, which is why it is so special.
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't think this has been like a tremendously great playoffs, NBA playoffs. Like, 3-point variance has kind of been written about a lot, but it definitely changes the dramatic effect on the NBA more than probably anything else. Like, yeah, there's really high quality shot making going on. There's excellent players and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of like games being back and forth and nip and tuck and close series and things like that, like it's just 3-point variance has definitely thrown a monkey wrench in that. So for me, in the first two rounds, like if I was to look back 2 years from now, what do you remember from the playoffs? It's actually the Garden crowds is the standout performer of the playoffs for me thus far. I think the bringing back like the Larry Johnsons and Starks and Frazier's and everybody, having those legends in the building, having that crowd go nuts, having that crowd connect with the blue collar Knicks as they like grind it out and try to win despite not having a just nothing but like first overall picks or anything like that. Like just watching them connect and having that energy echo off each other and like translate through the television screen is the thing I will take away the most from this series. I'm sad it's over, but I'm glad it's happened. It happened.
I think it's a fantastic point. I actually agree with you 100% there, and I do think maybe you agree with me on this. And there's something to be said about like that series versus the Sixers. Felt like it was on for so long. I felt like it took so much out of them mentally, emotionally, physically, maybe spiritually. But it was like, the constant battles with Embiid, and then him using the media as like this kind of way to maybe fire the team up, and all the controversies with the referees on both sides, and Nick Nurse kind of saying stuff in the media and the post game press conferences. It just seemed like that was a series versus a rival that was just so important. It's like they won the series, and it's like, oh yeah, you still have to beat the Pacers, and then you probably have to beat the Celtics, and then you have to advance the NBA finals. Like, there were still so many steps to go. And after beating that, like that, if they're winning that first round series, it just felt like they kind of almost blew their load in a sense. Like, it was just, you're done. And that's kind of the same reason why I'm happy the Rangers did not have to go to a game seven at home, because it's the same sort of mindset where you have to put in so much effort just to get this one series victory. And that's kind of what happened, I feel like, with the Knicks. And I was afraid after that Sixers win. Obviously prefer them to win than to lose, but and stopping Embiid on his path always feels great. But I just felt that there was not a lot of juice left in the tank after that first round series.
All right, well, I'm not going to let you delay it any longer. We're going to get into the Rangers. We're going to get into the NHL, and we're going to do both right after this break.
You know, when the conversation turns tampers, I always go with my number one as Caesars. Let's talk about them a little bit, shall we? Tickets to the game, merch, meals at iconic restaurants, stays at Caesars Palace. All this can be yours when you bet with Caesars Sportsbook. Win or lose, every bet earns rewards credits, which you can redeem across the empire. Now, if you haven't started yet, register using this code. Listen up. Omaha full, the word Omaha and the word full. And then you place your first bet up to $1,250. If you win, great. If you keep those winnings, but if you lose, you'll get your stake back as a bonus bet. 21 and over only. Offer valid and must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, and Wyoming. New users and first $10 plus wager only. Must register with eligible promo code. Bet amount of qualifying wager returned only if wager is settled as a loss. Maximum bonus bet, $1,250. Bonus bet expires 14 days after receipt. Tier credits and reward credits will be added to account within 7 days after qualifying wager settles. See caesars.com/promos for full terms. Void where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino, call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STOP. Licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier City, and Harrah's, New Orleans. Massachusetts, call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, affiliated with Harrah's, Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER or West Virginia, 1-800-GAMBLER.net. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
All right, we are back, and I spent 10 minutes at the top talking to Eddie about Pearl Jam and Vegas and New York and everything else to avoid the embarrassing fact that I put up the worst week in the history of the show last week, Edward. I gave it 3.7 units. I only got two picks right the entire time, and it's mostly your fault. It's mostly your fault because I kept playing Oilers Vancouver overs. You told me were, you know, going to continue to cash. That hurt me big time. Nuggets and Thunder obviously didn't come through for me. And so I really, really, really struggled. Lost 14.2 to 3.7. But I put up my best week ever the week before. So hopefully this is Goldilocks. I at least land somewhere in between this week. Though I am carrying the shame of the 3.7. So I am going to concede honors to you, sir, and let you go first with your heart pick.
You know, it's sunny. We always work in, I feel like, simpatico here. You set me up very easily because I do have an Oilers tie-in here. And also, to make you feel a little bit better about that, the Nuggets T-Wolves series that you just mentioned, too, it's funny that one Kevin Hench just texted. All seven results of that series missed the point spread by double digits. So you should not feel as bad about that. And again, you brought up the Oilers here. And it's my heart bet for a reason. I feel like I talk about the Oilers a lot on this program and other programs on our network. They are and a very interesting story. And I feel like if people care more about the NHL, they would be like, wow, this is really weird that two top five players, one of them being the best player possibly of the generation, don't even sniff a Stanley Cup, don't even sniff a championship. And we don't talk about that nearly enough, but I think because of that, instead of hating them, I kind of like them. I kind of adopt them as that West Coast team. I don't think they're very good. I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup. I don't even feel like weird, like I'm jinxing them. Like they just don't have it. Do I think they could win this game, the game seven versus Vancouver? I do. I think they have enough firepower, and we just saw in the last game, if they really turn it on, if they're playing Draisaitl and McDavid together, they create magic. If they get in the power play, is one of the best power plays we've seen in recent history. So for all those reasons, and I'm sorry that I've cost you in the past because it has been a roller coaster watching the Edmonton Oilers play this postseason. But Leon Draisaitl to score -122, not a great number, but you know he's right now the number one point leader in the playoffs. McDavid, his teammate, and his other teammate Evan Bouchard are third, but Draisaitl's first with 23 points. So clearly put up a lot of points, but they're still losing games. Why? Obviously, defense, goaltending, massive issues for them. But Leon Draisaitl to score, my heart bet, because I feel like I do kind of talk about this team and the intricacies of them. Are they going to break up after this year? It's going to be very, very interesting. But he is one of the best players in the league, and I think he will score, and they will advance.
Eddie, how prevalent is rings culture in the NHL? Because like it's basically all that you measure quarterbacks by. It's almost all that you measure like NBA legends by. But like a football defender or like a major league pitcher or whatever they might be, like they're ultimately judged by things other than rings. And so when you talk about McDavid not having this success and not having reached the pinnacle quite yet, but also having GOAT level like skills and abilities – where will he fall in that conversation if he doesn't come through this year, or does it matter as much in hockey?
You know, it's a weird thing because he still is revered by his peers and even, you know, Hall of Fame players that watch him play and they're like, yeah, this guy is legit. He's probably on the path already to be a top 10 player if he does not win anything. It's a weird thing though in the NHL because I don't think it matters as much. You know, when you watch all these like NHL like commercials, like hoisting the Stanley Cup, it's always like the captain. Sometimes the captain isn't the best player. Sometimes the captain's a guy that's just been on there for a very long time. McDavid is a weird example of him being not only the team's best player, but the league's best player, also wears the C. So I think for him, it does matter. For Draisaitl, probably not as much because he's in the shadow of Connor McDavid. But I just think, how many times can you as an organization keep running it back? It happened, I think I mentioned this on the last time I was on, was with the Maple Leafs, with the pressure on Auston Matthews. Again, he has pressure because he's almost a 70-goal scorer. He is the face of one of the most popular franchises, an original six franchise. So I think, like, you can't keep running the same roster back and expect, you know, different results. That is, like, the definition of insanity. And I think they have to break it up here so that he could figure out a way to get his cup. I think with McDavid, if they don't win it here, it's going to be like a Ray Bourque situation where he has to go somewhere else later in his career. But yeah, to get that iconic of him, you know, shot of him lifting it up finally and everyone on the ice and everyone in the crowd like crying because it took McJesus, you know, 17, 18 seasons to get there. That's like kind of what matters in the league. But will it be held against him? Is he still going to be a top 10 player because of how good he is on the ice? Absolutely. And if you're Leon Draisaitl, you're kind of lucky that you're on this team because it won't be held against you as much because even though he would be an alpha on, you know, 25 plus teams, he's not the alpha on this team. So he gets to skate by kind of.
Yeah, I mean, kind of think of him like as an Ovechkin who didn't win it until what, his like 16th or 17th year, but was a legend up until then, but keeps his status because he won the one cup. Or maybe like Durant, if Durant never went to the Warriors, like league best talent, legend, like will leave his mark on the game forever, but without those titles, like he probably wouldn't be held in similar regards, even though he kept failing with other super teams, kind of like McDavid's doing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think in basketball, obviously, it's amplified way more. Only five guys, you can kind of see their full faces. A lot of the market, the superstars way better. For the NHL, you can kind of get by. But, you know, it is the most iconic trophy in sports. So obviously, that's one you do want to win.
Well, I think even like the way you talk about it, like when you talk about Jordan, the first thing that comes up is the rings. When you talk about Gretzky, I think the first thing that usually comes up is like the points and assists, the records, and the stats.
Yeah. That's so, very true.
Kind of
yeah.
an interesting way to look at the two different sports. So, not delaying, for my heart pick, I am going to take those Indiana Pacers with the points in game one against the Celtics, because this is just a lot of points. 9.5 is the line. It's a lot of points against a team that can score a lot of points, like to break it down in the most simplistic way possible. If the Pacers get to 110, 115, that's a whole lot of three balls for the Celtics to cover double digits. It's not that it won't, as Hench said, like there's a lot of double digits variance away from the spread. Like the Celtics could win this by 20 just as soon as like the Pacers can win it by one. But at the same time, in my heart, I do feel like game one is the one that's most likely to go against conventional wisdom, as people think the Pacers were just like dragged to game seven in this super grueling seven game series. But often like they come out of game one riding the adrenaline, riding the wave of low expectations, and are able to outperform them, and then they completely crash in game two. So the variance is so high, it actually needs to be this many points to make it worth it. But due to that variance, the actual value of betting the money line is the highest. Like plus 360 is probably better than the minus 110 or minus 115 on the 9.5. But as I said, I put up 3.7 last week. I'm a little gun shy, going with more conservative, taking the points with the safer bet with the Pacers on tomorrow night, on Tuesday night.
Makes it easier for me. Going to tail this one immediately. Almost had this in my bets. You know, I feel similar to you. Like the Celtics now on a lot of rest. They'll be a little bit rusty. They got to hit that three ball to win. It's something that Martin Weiss always talks about, how the Celtics could be beat if you listen to Lemon Pepper Hartley. And I think with the missing Kristaps Porzingis for at least the beginning of the series, they said probably not back into the finals. That's going to be big. And plus, you know, the other side of things, the Pacers, they're not going to win this game, but I think it'll be close enough because they are riding that momentum. They are excited excited to be there. You know, they don't even know any better. A lot of young guys here, yeah. They're not really ready for, like, they're not going to feel the crushing expectations right away. And I think that they'll, for this first game, they will keep it kind of tight. So I almost had the same thing. The plus 9.5, feel pretty good about that one. So I'm with you here.
All right, cool. Well, when you look at the stats, what do you got in the head category?
Yeah, so I'm sticking with my Oilers thing here. You know, the head category. I like this one for a couple reasons. I mentioned before, McDavid is second in points behind his sometimes line mate, definitely his power play line mate, Leon Draisaitl. He has 21 points right now in the NHL postseason. I like him two or more assists. That's plus 130. It's a nice number. The simple reason is this: Head. Well, obviously he's the best player in the league, but they have to win this game because there is a lot riding on this game, and we saw what their coach Knobloch did by putting these guys on. He's double shifting them. Obviously they're playing together. I think it's more opportunities for McDavid to look to pass. He was looking to pass a lot more in that last game. I think he is maybe nursing some sort of an injury, or maybe he's just worn down. The guy does play with a lot of speed, and obviously playing, you know, 82 regular game season and then going into the postseason, your body starts to break down a little bit. So I'm not saying he's not gonna be effective. I'm saying that he may, instead of looking to crash the net and try to score, he may look for number 29, old Draisaitl over there to score. So I like him on the assist there. He has done this a few times already this series. So and this is a game like the amount of pressure that will come on them. They're lucky that this team does not play in Montreal or Toronto, because the media would be going absolutely crazy. Probably a little bit easier to deal with in Edmonton, but I don't think they have to worry about that right now, because they will win this game. I think McDavid and Draisaitl, their big dogs, do show up in this one. So head bet McDavid two or more assists plus 130.
Okay. I mean, what a game. Game 7 with the guy with the legacy on the line. You feel very confident in them. They're plus 600 right now to win the cup.
Oh,
is there
hate
any
that.
Value in that?
Hate that. Nope. Hate that completely. They're just terrible defensively. They're so bad defensively. I'm not even sure if they're like first pairing of defense would be even like on other squads. Like, I'm not sure if those guys would even make it. If their power play goes cold, that even hurts them more. They've been flip-flopping with their goaltender, taking Skinner in and out. And like I said, I don't think McDavid's fully right. So I absolutely hate that to win a cup. There's no way they're winning two more series. But I do think they can win one more game versus the Canucks team, which also kind of peaked too early. But we don't have to waste a lot of time talking about the Canucks.
Fair enough. We'll see if we have to talk about them on Wednesday or not. In the head category, I am going to go for some regression here. I'm going to keep making these two-player MLB parlays until they cash for me. And if I go broke doing it, so be it, Eddie. So back to the well here. I am going with MJ Melendez under 0.5 RBIs and Willy Adames under 1.5 Ks minus 117. Melendez has 0 RBIs in a month, last plating someone on 420, finally giving people something to celebrate on that day. And today he gets Reese Olson and his dazzling 0.99 whip and 2.09 ERA as they go against the Tigers. So the odds are heavily against him breaking the streak today. In the other legs, Adames is going up against a toothless Marlins pitching staff and a stat where the under has hit an 85% clip on the year, including 9 of the last 10. Neither are sexy bets, but putting them together get me some solid odds on Monday night MLB action, and I will be back to this Marlins game in my cred pick here in a couple of minutes.
I always love your baseball bets. They already did tell you once, but you know, it is fun to watch this baseball season. I have been watching too, despite, you know, the Knicks and the Rangers kind of taking the forefront here, but it has been a great baseball season. You know, to for me as being Yankees fan, it's great if you just love young pitching. Paul Skeens, his coming onto the scene has been awesome. So no complaints of that. It would have tailed it if I didn't go with your NBA pick there, but to move on here, to keep the show moving to the Heater, back to hockey for me. This one, it's very simple, kind of the same mindset I was talking about with Draisaitl and McDavid. When you are the alpha, you got to put the team on your back and kind of carry them, especially when you're getting top 6 minutes, especially when you're getting power play minutes. I should even say for this specific guy, when you're getting shorthanded minutes too on the PK, because he has scored a few shorthanded goals. And that's Chris Kreider, the guy who probably should have been the captain of the Rangers if he didn't decline it, to record a point all week in games 1, 2, and 3, which will be Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. It's minus 164 game 1. Again, not a great number, but I just like Kreider to step up. He clearly wants this. He wants to win. He wants to cement his legacy, which he already pretty much has. His number will be retired one day in MSG. 20 will be up in the rafters. But just seeing his ability to turn it on and his skating ability at age 33 is still very, very impressive. He has some magic there with Mika Zibanejad, who they've been line mates for years and years and years. And I think that a team like the Florida Panthers, who play kind of open defensively, not as tight as a Carolina Hurricanes team, quietly parking himself in front of the net, and he will he'll be, you know, I think probably will score more, and I would have had better odds if I said Kreider a goal in every game, but a goal in every game is pretty lofty for a player like him. But so I'm safer with the point. He will get a lot of ice time. So -160 Kreider to record a point every game this week.
So Eddie, you, every time you come on here, every time you're on -3, people try to goad you into betting on the Rangers. Dave is one of his favorite pastimes. Mm-hmm. So I could not miss the opportunity to do the exact same thing. And I am making my heater this week. I am taking the Rangers money line in all three games, in games 1, 2, or 3. So you are going to have to weigh in one way or another, my friend, a little psychological warfare in a friendly way. They're the best team in hockey, and I've heard you say on mics on this network, on Extra Points Network, that you thought Carolina was the biggest test for them in the NHL, and they got past that test. So if they're going to be able to go up 3-0 on Carolina, why should I not like them early in the series here against the Panthers? And you also know how much I love and respect the MSG advantage, and I get two of those games at home. And so I'm ice cold, but what better way to break out than to follow the advice of my opponent here and back his team against him in all three games?
Well, there definitely will be a lot of fans, New York Rangers fans, in Sunrise, Florida as well. So the home ice advantage may stay with them for, you know, 7 games instead of just the ones at home. I will say that, like I was just mentioning, that the Panthers are a little more fast and loose. They aren't as tight defensively, man on man, like the Hurricanes defend. So that will let things be more open for the Rangers to score. But obviously, you have to convert. The difference between Carolina and Florida, outside of the Florida Panthers having the way better goaltender in Sergei Bobrovsky, who I believe was only behind Jeremy Swayman, the Bruins, and Igor for, you know, saves on high percentage shots. So obviously it's going to be a huge difference in net for the Rangers, but I just think this team is fast and loose, and they are aggressive. They're aggressive on the forecheck, and Carolina was a little more sound, all things across the board. They were holding the puck for a lot of time. They were getting a lot of shots. That did play into the Rangers' favor a little bit, but I do feel like they were more of the kryptonite because they were not going to have a lot of open ice. So the Panthers, though, do convert when they have the puck, which is something that Carolina Hurricanes are not doing. And they have these high-end guys. They have some alphas, which, I do not think that Carolina has. Carolina's style of play defensively scares me, but I think that the Panthers' star power also scares me, and their goaltender scares me. So I will not be weighing in on, you know, I think Rangers, all things considered on paper, probably the best team in hockey because of a number of reasons, and they're deep at every position and great in goaltending. But I just think this is going to be a tough series. It's only going to get harder from here. So I stay away from betting on the team.
Well, why isn't a public team like the Rangers at home as the President's Cup holder not favored? Like, what am I missing? Why aren't they favored in this game?
It's been a mystery for the, you know, last series as well. They even on like the cup odds, they have not really been getting a lot of love. I do not know. I mean, I think most teams that win the President's Trophy would be favored. I believe the Bruins were heavily favored last year. And I just don't get why this team is not getting the respect when they have the top goaltender, when they have a guy in Artemi Panarin who would have, you know, most seasons would have been in the conversation to win the Hart, the MVP trophy. But there were just so many great players this year. Adam Fox, who's a Norris winning defenseman, like, they are deep. They have guys, but I just think that something about maybe the Florida Panthers where they got so far last year, making to the cup and having a guy like Matthew Tkachuk, who's a 16 game player. I really don't know. I mean, Bob has won a Vezina in his own career. So I maybe that's what they believe in. They just thought, and then, you know, with the Carolina series, they just thought they were so good, you know, per the analytics of, you know, the puck possession thing and the shots on net thing, and they're going to stifle the Rangers play. I really, it beats me as to why people just don't want to, but maybe it is a superstition thing. The Rangers always seem to find a way to lose, and the Vegas sports books are expecting that. I don't know why there is no respect.
Well, maybe the public knew that I was going to back the Rangers, and therefore they all went the other way. And so they had to do something to balance the odds back out. So what do you got in cred today, Eddie?
My cred pick here, I'm going baseball. I mentioned how much I am enjoying the series. Yankees first AL team to in the AL to reach 30 wins. First team, only team with three guys with 10 or more home runs with Aaron Judge, Juan Soto, and Giancarlo Stanton. They are playing the Mariners, who are, you know, a good team here. They are -1.5. It's +158. It's a good number. I just think I'm going to ride this 7-game win streak as long as they possibly could. I would not be shocked if I bet the Yankees in some form in every show we do together this week, because I just everything is just working. If you told me that the pitching staff would be this good without a guy named Gerrit Cole who just won a Cy Young Award, I would be shocked. You know, it's just everything is just working. Aaron Judge, I've always believed in, he was going to turn around, and he has. Anthony Volpe's turn from what he was last year, like batting below the Mendoza line, to this year has been great. And obviously, I can't emphasize how big it is to have Juan Soto, who just seems to have all these clutch hits, and he just always finds a way, and he's great in the field too, has a great arm. It's just been a joy to watch. The team was having fun. Again, Mariners are a good team, but I do think Yankees, given the 1.5 +158 during the 7-game win streak, is something I feel pretty good about.
Yeah, you certainly don't have to tell me about Juan Soto. I watched the guy come up here in D.C. So I'm going to tell you on this one, I like it more than what could happen in a Game 7, especially when you need multiple outcomes from McDavid. Draisaitl is the one I considered, but Game 7, like, I don't feel great enough about it to put any money behind any of that. And I already have some on the Rangers, so I'm going to back you with the Yankees going up against the Mariners. Obviously, it's hard not to like what you're seeing as a Yankees fan right now. But this might surprise you, Eddie. I don't know if you knew this already. Did you know the Milwaukee Brewers have outscored the mighty New York Yankees this year? Did you know in total runs, the Brewers have more runs than the Yankees in two less games played?
I'm not shocked by that, which is funny too, because the series the Yankees play versus the Brewers, they smoked them in a few of those games by scoring a ton of runs. But then the Yankees, I believe right after that series is when their weird kind of stretch happened, where like Judge was homerless for a while, and Soto did go on a little bit of a slump as well up until recently. So they weren't hitting the ball, and people were like, you know, that's when you started hearing, oh, the Aaron Judge contract's going to bite them, and you know, all the, and Soto's going to leave. And then something else happened where they figured it out. But the pitching's always been good, but the bats kind of did take a dip there for a bit, so that is not a shocking stat.
Well, the Yankees are fourth in the league in runs, but the Brewers are third, and so this is my real slump buster. I am taking the Brewers -1.5 +122 for two units tonight, because they are going against the Marlins. They're leading the Central. They're third in the league in runs scored. They have plenty of offensive power to cover against a terrible Marlins team that I've been betting against all year, and I'm going back to that well when I need it the most, particularly also because the Brewers are on the road and will get that extra at-bat to cover the run line. Joe Ross is on the bump for Milwaukee. Not an ace, and I kept waiting for Smiling Joe Ross to happen for the Nats, but he's serviceable enough, and that's all you need against a crappy team. And he's been serviceable lately, 3.38 ERA in his three starts in May. All this is good enough for me. You had me at the Marlins. It's time to break my cold streak with a little ice fishing against the Fish on Monday.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if you have a good team versus the Marlins, the White Sox, maybe the Rockies too, it's like that's an easy, like, fade the bad team, bet on the good team. It's simple. Sometimes betting is easy.
That it really is, like, not that betting is easy, but this is my simple formula. Give me anybody in the top five in runs scored at on the road against any of those teams you just mentioned at a plus number, and it goes in my slip. I don't even need to look about anything else, and I'm putting it in for two units tonight.
Yeah, exactly that, and especially as good as the Brewers have been offensively, and besides their weird series versus the Yankees, they are a good team. Would not be shocked to see them very late into this postseason.
All right, well, let's not keep everybody too late today. Let's go ahead and take our second break and then do our second Guess Express. All right, Eddie, we are back, and I am taking my second Guess Express and trying to do some more good with it. Last week, I kept taking outcomes that I wanted to see and putting it in second guess and not in my actual pick so that it would win. And I'm continuing that trend this week with Caitlin Clark, 25 plus points on the alt point line. It's +200 at Caesars tonight. I think it's going to be really interesting to see if she continues to command so much attention as she adjusts to the league. And I mean that both on and off the court. Like, off the court, you know, I want it to continue as long as possible. But on the court, they're running a ton of half-court traps at her, kind of like what the Pacers were doing to Brunson, trying to get the ball out of her hands as quick as possible. And I don't know if that's just because, like, they want to, like, put her in her place. I don't know if they, there's so much media attention on it with 3-4 million people watching in a game. Like they want to make sure that they're not the team that she goes for 30 or 40 against. Like they want to control the narrative. But now we have, you know, it's not her first home game. It's her second home game. I don't think it's on national television. Attention's dying down a little bit. She's going to go through ups and downs, but I think she is due for an explosive night at home, and maybe even we'll lead Fever to the first victory. And because I really want all that to happen, I'm putting it in second guess instead of my picks. You are welcome, America.
That she's been having a tough go. I mean, I know that she, you know, with the running into like that screen the other day, and she got blown up, and then you know, like the amount of double teams that she's been seeing and forcing the shots, you know, super far away. You know, I know she struggled from the 3-point line in her debut, but she did like lead the team with 22 points, or might have led the game with 22 points the other night.
Yeah.
And I keep thinking like, oh, someone's gonna help her out, and I realize like, oh, they had the first pick for a reason. Like they're not a very good team, so she is pretty much you know, in isolation out there. I think, you know, they're growing pains, but I think she'll only improve and be more efficient and find a way to kind of move around these defensive maneuvers that teams are pulling on the Fever. My second guess, going back to the Yankees here, I brought him up, Aaron Judge, home runs plus 190. I just think the guy has just been on fire lately, and the team is just, you know, when he has kind of cushion in the lineup with guys like Soto and Stan who are hitting, obviously he'll be able to see more pitches here. His last 7 days, 20 at bats. In the six games plays, he had in the 10 of his hits, 5 are doubles, 3 are home runs. So he's seeing the ball really well. He's not just hitting, you know, cheap singles here. He is really putting a beating on the baseball. So I just love that from him. 5 ribbies too in the last 20 at bats. So I mean, the guy is just like, he's just locked in right now. Plus money is a really nice number, but I think the bets I have, I kind of like a little bit more because again, maybe they're going to start walking Judge now. Who knows? They don't want to, you know, if men are on base, just or no men's on base, rather put him on first base. Don't deal with him. So that's the only reason why I kind of shied away from it. But right now he is in the middle of a great stretch.
All right. And you used to give out winners on Tuesdays all the time, which was super fun on for some of the bonus bets that we saw on that for homers. So Eddie, now that SIG is off the air because the Premier League ended, you are involved in every single show we produce this week since you're the guest here on Trendy. So why don't you go ahead and give the plugs, because you know what's going on even better than I do.
Yes, I mentioned Kevin Hench. He will be on the Monday -3. If maybe also another show this week as well, depending on how long we go. May have another -3 guest, I believe, and maybe Joey Molinaro, but don't hold me to that. I know his schedule is quite busy. Lemon Pepper Parlay with Martin and Mark will be back tomorrow. Extra Points with Dave and Sarah, potentially a special guest on Wednesday. So, and then yes, I will be on Trendy all week here. So, a really fun, jam-packed week. A great time. If you love hockey, great time. If you love basketball, great time. You love baseball too, if your team is good. So it's a fun time in sports.
Yep. And come back and have all those fun times with us. And don't forget about your friends here at Trendy back on Wednesday and Friday. See if I can reverse my cold snap and take down Eddie. And I don't know if this is our fourth or fifth matchup. I'll look that up before we come out on Wednesday. Good luck. Well, the Rangers won't play before we record again. So good luck to your Yankees since I tailed them. Enjoy a couple days off before you have to white knuckle it through these Eastern Conference Finals. And I hope everybody at home, you enjoy the action as well. Take care, everyone.